you could take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 2, if you would. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, it says, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you in or for his name's sake. Verse 13 says, I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Have overcome the wicked one. What I want to share with you is overcoming, being an overcomer, because you can overcome. There are three ages or three groups represented here in these verses that we read. Children are represented, young men are represented, and fathers are represented. And all three of these groups are indicated by different Greek words in the text. So you have three different groups that are represented. And if you're going to overcome a situation, you have to understand what it is to overcome. You have to understand what it is to overcome. One of the problems that we have with dealing with situations in life, hardships, temptations, torments, this sort of thing, is that we don't understand what it means to be biblically victorious. We don't understand what it means to overcome biblically. Okay? Now the word overcome in the Greek, it means to conquer. It's one of its definitions. It means to carry off the victory or to come off victorious. So when you overcome, you carry off the victory. You are victorious in the situation. When it's speaking of Christ, it says it's to be victorious over all his foes. Christ was victorious over all his foes. Now this is Strong's definition, okay? But there's more than one definition for a word. For many words are like this. And one of the last definitions that Strong's gives for this particular Greek word that means to overcome, and it says of Christ, and he says victorious over all his foes. Then he specifically turns around and he says of Christians. So this definition now is pertaining to Christians, he's saying. Of Christians that hold fast their faith even unto death, against the power of their foes, against temptations, and against persecutions. So what he's saying is that this word means to be victorious, it means to conquer, it means to come off victorious and have the victory, but it also means to hold your faith even unto death against the power of your foes, against temptations that you come across, and against persecutions that come your way. You can overcome. And the overcoming is that you hold on to your faith, your belief, your faith. You're not broken away. You don't dissolve. Now, sometimes in life, we have victory when we deal in situations. Sometimes in life, we walk away victorious and we conquer the situation and we come out on top. And it's very evident. Very evident. You can see this in a ministering situation, for instance. Okay? Let me just show you this from the Word. And we're looking at to overcome when you conquer something, when you walk away victorious about something. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. We're going to look at a situation where it is very evident that Jesus Christ, that Jesus overcame. That when he was there, he was victorious. In Luke 9, in verse 42, and it says, "And as he was yet coming," Jesus, "the devil threw him down," talking about the boy, "and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his," what?
"Father."
Okay. That is a situation in where Jesus Christ was confronted with, and he was victorious in that situation, wouldn't you say? He got rid of the spirit and he gave the kid back to his father. And there was a party that night. Little boy got delivered. Look at Matthew chapter 8. And again, we're considering this definition of overcoming and it in the life of Jesus Christ. And the first part where it's to be victorious, to walk away with victory. Matthew 8 verse 13. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame," what?
"Hour."
"And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lay and sick of a fever." Peter's wife's mother. Peter had a wife. And Peter's mother-in-law was there, and she was sick of a fever. "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were," what?
"Sick."
"All that were sick." He healed all that were sick. So again, you see that this is one type of overcoming. This is a victory. The centurion's servant got healed. Peter's mother-in-law got healed. And all that were possessed and all that were sick got what?
Healed.
Jesus Christ was very victorious. He's very victorious. Okay. Sometimes in life, we have this kind of victory. And we walk away victorious. Jesus Christ had this kind of victory. And he walked away victorious. He overcame. He overcame the situation. But sometimes in life, according to what Strong's is saying about the definition of this word, to overcome means to hold fast to your faith even unto death against the power of your foe, against temptation, and against persecution. And if you don't understand that, you'll let the devil beat you down. You got to be able to understand that you can still overcome the wicked one in a seemingly losing situation, or else the devil will beat you. Because this word, "you have overcome the wicked one," does mean to conquer, does mean to be victorious, does mean to walk off with the victory. But this word also means to stay put, hold fast to your faith, even unto death, against the power of a foe, of temptation, and of persecution. Look at Matthew chapter 26 now. Matthew 26, verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou," what? "And he came unto his disciples, and he found them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again a second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and he went away again, and he prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then he come unto his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of" what?
Sinners.
Sinners. Go to Matthew 27. You see? Was Jesus Christ always victorious in his ministry?
Yes.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. But here we see a situation that if you look at it sense knowledge-wise, he doesn't look like he's being very victorious in this situation, because he's not getting the answer that he wants. And something's going to happen that he doesn't want to go through. He doesn't want to go through. Matthew 27, verse 37, we fast forward and set up over his head this accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." "Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left." Verse 39, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest in 3 days, save thyself, thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Okay. He doesn't seem to be in a position where he's overcoming. He doesn't seem to be in a position where he's victorious. Let's read on. "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down off the cross, and we will" what?
Believe
him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same into his teeth. Cast the same into his teeth. Go to Mark chapter 15. In Mark 15, in verse 37, And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the what? He died. See? Do you think that Jesus was victorious on the cross? But sense knowledge-wise, if you looked at what he was going through, okay? He didn't look victorious, did he?
No.
Look at Revelation 3 for a second. Verse 20. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also, what?
Overcame.
And then sat down with my Father in his throne. See? Even as I also, what? Overcame. Jesus Christ said he overcame. He overcame. And sense knowledge-wise, looking at the circumstances that Jesus Christ was in, Jesus was anything but victorious. He was anything but victorious. Some would look at it and say that God turned his back on Jesus. Some would claim that God didn't hear Jesus Christ's prayer because he did nothing. He let him die. There must have been a reason why he died. He must have did something wrong. You understand? But Jesus Christ himself, the word of God, says that Jesus overcame. He overcame. So what is your definition? What is your idea of overcoming? Is it that you're always going to conquer and you're always going to be victorious and walk away with the victory? Yeah, that's one definition of overcoming. But Strong says there's another definition of overcoming. He says that to be able to keep your faith even unto death, even unto temptation, either unto your foes, either unto persecution. And you know where you do that? You do that up here. You do that in here. That no matter what the world throws at you, that no matter what circumstances arise, the Bible says that you are still able to be an overcomer. You can overcome. You can be victorious in that situation. You can be victorious in that situation. It may not always be lay your hands on the sick and you're healed. That type of victory. Those kind of victories are one type of victory that word represents. But another type of victory that word represents is that you don't budge on the word. That you stay put. See, I have seen victories where to be able to lay my hands on the sick and then recover instantaneously. I have seen that. God has seen fit to bless that situation. Right? But when my son died, to look at it sense knowledge wise, there was no victory there. There was no walking away with the victory. I didn't feel like I overcame. See? But what we were able to do, we were able to stay put on the word. We were able to keep our faith, you understand? In the face of death. We were able to keep our faith in the face of accusation, in the face of persecution, in the face of temptation. And in doing that, the Bible says that we were able to what?
Overcome.
That's something. See, so if you're always looking for, poof, the victory, the answer, 1 and 1 equals 2. If you're always looking for that, you're going to be missing what the Word of God says that He's given you. And you know how you're going to miss it? The devil's going to talk you out of it. Because the devil knows what I'm teaching you. Don't think he doesn't. See? Because if the devil can't get you this way, he'll get you here. And if he can get you here, in your heart, in your mind, you want to know something? Call Digger Odell, because it's all over. See, you can still be working on a sickness. You can still be working on a malady. You can still be confronted with problems and pestilence and situations and torments and grievous things. You can still be confronted with all of that and still biblically overcome if you don't quit and you keep your faith here and here with the Father. No matter what happens. He was in the garden crying. God didn't give him the answer he wanted. And yet he said he overcame. He hung on the cross. And before he hung on the cross, how many hours did he endure? Being spit on, being beat, being whipped, being punched. And yet the Bible says he overcame. See, in his temptation, in his torture, in his mocking, in his agitation, he overcame. He overcame. Why? Because he didn't give up. He didn't give up here and he didn't give up here. Even right to the very end, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That doesn't come from a heart of bitterness. Did he overcome? You better believe he overcome. He overcame. And so can you, if you understand what it means to overcome. It's not always having somebody hand you first place. Sometimes it's being handed last place and smiling about it. You're not going to get me out of the... You understand? That's what it is. And you can't equate victory with what the senses throw at you. Because what the senses threw at Jesus was the cross. What the senses threw at Jesus was the beating. What the senses threw at Jesus is that God didn't answer his prayer. God didn't help him, quote unquote. The sense is going to tell you a lot of stuff. You understand? But it wasn't like that. You got to be able to see things spiritually. And the Word of God says that Jesus Christ overcame. He overcame because he didn't quit. Even when things aren't going your way, you can overcome if you don't quit. But if you let the devil get the best of you, and you let him get you all whacked up, then he's going to steal that away from you. You see, the devil can't beat you unless he beats you here. He can't beat you unless he beats you here. He's got to beat you in your head. He's got to beat you in your heart. If he beats you there, then he beats you. See? I forget. It's a bird, I think. And a cat's got its mouth open, and the bird's head is in the cat's mouth, and the bird's got its hand around his neck. The cat's neck says, never give up. Right? That's the kind of attitude that you have to have. Look at James. Chapter 1. See, so, look. Sense knowledge-wise, if the situation looks like it's going to hell, that doesn't mean that you have to go to hell with it. Sense knowledge-wise, if the situation looks like a mess, that doesn't mean that you got to get on board. Because the Bible says that you can still overcome the mess if you don't succumb to the mess. And you don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to him with your eyes or your ears. You understand? Don't listen to what he's telling you. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You're going to get tempted. But you can still overcome in that. Look at 1 Peter 2.
First Peter 2.
We got a more abundant life. We got a victorious life. Yeah, you got a victorious life. Yeah, you got a more abundant life. Yeah, you're a super conqueror. Yeah, you can overcome. But you know damn right well as I do that if you live more than 3 days on this planet, you've been through some crap. And you can't look at the situation to verify the end result. You got to look at what the Word says. Because in that crap, you can still overcome. You know, you look at some of these people that are in wheelchairs, bound there for the rest of their lives, for whatever reasons. I do not know. And some of those people are the most pleasant, inspiring, uplifting people that you ever want to meet. They're overcoming because they're not letting the situation dictate to them. They are dictating to the situation. They are not a product of their environment. Their environment is a product of them and what they think and what they feel in their heart. And you can't beat a person like that. Can't beat a person like that. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at all that he went through. And he was just upbeat. Look at Peter. He was singing in the prison, in the death cell. They were going to kill him. And it says in the middle, I think they beat him, and in the middle of the night, they're singing songs. And the angel comes and breaks him out. See? He was overcoming. He's in prison. They're going to kill him. He was overcoming. It's not the circumstance. It's not what you're going through. It's what the Word says. Who you are. And it's what's in here. We sang tonight, there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave. A peace that it cannot take away. That's what I'm talking about. Something that somebody, the devil can't take that away from you. Unless you let him. Unless he gets you all whacked out. Then you let him rob you of your peace. You let him rob you of the Word. You let him rob you of your victory. See? It's not the situation. You let him rob you of your victory when you listen to what he's giving you, when he listens to what he's telling you. Yeah, this is happening. Yeah, that's happening. Yeah, my son's dead. Yeah, I know what people are going to think. Yeah, I know this. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, who's going to teach? Who's going to lead? Who's going? No, I was here the next day. Or the next week, my wife was here. Didn't shut the doors. Didn't stop praying. Didn't stop believing. Didn't stop helping people. Didn't stop ministering. That's what he wanted. But we were able to overcome. Sense knowledge-wise, you look at it and say, no way. But we're still here. Right? You're still here. The situations that you've been through. The hardships that you endure. I'm not using me for a poster child. I'm just using a situation. You all have situations in your life. You're acquainted with grief. You're acquainted with death. You're acquainted with failure. You're acquainted with, depression, sadness, all these other things. But yet, you keep going like the Energizer Bunny. And you keep ticking and ticking. You got pink on. We get 2 ears and a white cottontail, and you're good. You're the only one with pink, Mary. I'm sorry. You fit the role. But you keep going. You understand? That's overcoming biblically. How'd you like to be in the book of Revelation and hold your faith even unto death? And the Bible says of them that they overcame. They had to die to overcome. Jesus Christ died. He overcame. He got beat. He got whipped. He got mocked. He overcame. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, 1 Peter 20, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called,
because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that ye should follow in his steps. Now it's talking about suffering, and it's talking about suffering for injustice. That means that you are bebopping along in life, minding your own business, having a wonderful day, and a cloud comes and finds you, and there's a bunch of crows in the crowd, and they poop on you. And you didn't do nothing deserved to be pooped on. And then you turn around because they wrecked your wonderful, nice spring day, and you know what you start? You go nuts. And you start yelling at the birds, damn crows. And then your nice day goes where? The Bible says don't do that. It says don't do that. So that's how the devil gets advantage of you. If you're agitating the crows and they pooped on you, you deserve to be pooped on. But if you're not agitating them and they just come along and poop on you anyway, Bible says you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Now, specifically in the context, we're talking about suffering. We're talking about suffering for something that you don't deserve to suffer for. I don't need this kind of aggravation in my life. I don't need this kind of pain in my life. I don't need this kind of headache. I didn't do anything to deserve this. That's what we're talking about. You got it? That's what the Bible says. And he left us an example because he suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Following in his steps how? To show you how to deal with the crap that comes at you when you don't deserve it. That's a specific example he's going to show you now. Who did no sin? You? No, Jesus. Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. See, because he was getting all this stuff against him. He didn't sin. He didn't deserve it. There was nothing wrong in his mouth. You understand? Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. I'm going to get you this, you that. When he suffered, he what?
Threatened.
He threatened not. Because that's what we want to do, you know. We want to fight back. I'm going to get you. That's, see? You bet. Read this verse, girl. And that's what humans wanted us to say. You want to fight back? No. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And that's where we miss it. Because we don't understand that God sees what we're going through. And he understands it. And you just give it to God and you let God take care of it. Because I will guarantee you, God can take care of it better than you can. Because you're just going to screw it up. You're just going to mess it up. Listen to the new living of those verses. Verse 20. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're being beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing right and are patient beneath the blows, God is pleased with you. This suffering is all part of what God has called you to. Christ, who suffered for you, is your example. Follow in his steps. He never sinned. He never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Okay? God will take care of it. There's just some things that you can't do. You understand? You need to understand that you can still overcome the adversary when everything around you tells you different. You can still overcome. What you do and how you walk today will determine your tomorrow in eternity. And the devil knows this. The devil is relentless. He will not stop. You must determine to stand on the word of God no matter what. Because when you get out of joint, okay, he's not only messing with you now, he's stealing from you from then, from eternity. You understand? Because that's, he knows the end of the book. He's read the book. He knows he loses. He knows that he's going into the lake and he's never coming back again. You understand? So he's going to do as much damage as he can here and now and take a shot at what he can mess up for you in your eternal future. You got to be smarter than that. You got to be wiser than that. And how foolish is it to throw away some rewards and some pleasures? I do not know. Some rewards, some things that God may bestow upon you in the future for your foolish little ranting and raving now. Because the devil wants to push your button. Or he wants you to get you discouraged. Or he wants to get you upset. Or he wants you to get you anxiety. Or he wants to get you doubting. Or he wants to get you full of fear. How foolish is that? And you got to understand, it's spiritual warfare. And he's always after you. He's always there antagonizing. He's relentless. I have suffered many things. All of you have suffered many things, but you're still here. And you're able to overcome the temptation to quit. You're able to overcome the temptation to run and hide. You're able to overcome the temptation to throw in the towel. Biblically, you are overcoming. Biblically, you have the victory. Don't think the opposite. Don't listen to what the devil tells you. When he tells you you're a failure, when he tells you your life is a mess, when he tells you, oh, look at what's happening now, something must be wrong. You can still be victorious. You can still overcome. Stay put on the word. And things will level themselves out. They will level themselves out. See, I can teach right now for a while now. Long time. I could teach without any, pretty much, I'd say 99% free of anything overcoming the death of my son. I could talk about it. I can teach you from it. I can learn from it. I can do different things. See? How does a person overcome like that? There's only one answer to that. Because you can't do it of yourself. I know a lawyer who lost his son. He went nuts. Lost his practice, just went to drinking. And he just stayed in that depressed, sorrow, pity spirit. And the rest of his life went and it messed up the rest of his family. Messed up everybody he knew. He didn't overcome. He didn't understand that he could still overcome. Understand? The only thing that will be able to bring you to a place in your life where you're able to do that is the word. And you being steadfast on the word. And everybody can do that. You don't have to know Greek, Hebrew. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to memorize the Bible. All you got to do is be able to trust God and take him at his word. Say, I know you're not going to leave me or forsake me. He says that, doesn't he? Well, does he mean it or doesn't he mean it? Does he mean it in the problems that you're going through or doesn't he mean it? No, he doesn't mean it. Sure he does. He means it all the time, right? 24/7, right? 365 days a year he means that. Not just on Sundays. He doesn't mean it just on Sundays. He means it all the time. But you got to understand. It's not always, here's a medal, here's first place. Good job. You overcame. You're victorious. And the sense is not always like that. You can still overcome in sorrow. You can still overcome in death. You can still overcome in pain. You can still overcome in that. You can overcome. You going to quit?
or do you want to overcome? You see? And the Bible says you have overcome. Look at 2 Thessalonians. This will bless you. You know, it's not like God gives them a get out of jail free card. That's not what we're talking about. You know, when someone does you wrong, or someone persecutes you, or someone torments you, or something's happening, God doesn't just pass out, oh, it's a get out of jail free card. You got to understand that you got to trust in Him who judges rightly, like Jesus did. He just gave it to God. 2 Thessalonians, the New American Standard reads, chapter 1, verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. He says, after all, it's only just God's going to repay. So it's not a get out of jail free card. Here go on the Christian. It's, I see it. Naughty list. Where do you think that came from? I think it's biblical. Naughty list. That's what God does. I see what He's doing. Naughty list. And what's God going to do with the naughty list? He's going to repay, right? See, you can take comfort in that. You can relax in that. That's why you don't have to do it. Do you really think that you could repay it better than God? Huh? Come on now. You want to talk about the height of arrogance and pride. Actually, yeah, it's stupidity. Do you actually think you could do anything better than God? Let alone repay? You can't make a frog, can you? If you can make a frog, come up here, make a frog right here, and I will shut my mouth. Now, some of you women may have kissed a frog and turned us into a prince, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making a frog. Where was I? Oh, yes. For after all, it's only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. Don't worry about it. Don't let the devil break you up and get you out of fellowship. And instead of saying, hey, this is what the word says, this is what I need to do, because I'm going to overcome in this situation, you get all the way over here. And now before you can even get to here that you can overcome, you got to get from here back to here. Oh, okay, now I can start to overcome. Right? It's much easier to overcome from here, center, than it is from over here. Okay? But that's what the devil does. And if you don't understand what I'm teaching you, you'll stay over here. You'll look at the situation, you'll think God failed, you'll doubt, you'll worry, you'll fear, and you won't even think that you could overcome in that situation. Even in the failure, you won't think you can overcome. Now, that's remarkable. You can overcome in failure. Did you know that? Did Jesus Christ live? Seemingly sense knowledge-wise, He failed to the senses, but He overcame. You can even overcome in failure because you don't let it get to you. You get up to fight another day. You stay on the word. You overcome. John 10:10 says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Go to 1 John chapter 4. We'll close there. The abundant life isn't always first place. The abundant life is first spiritually and second here in your heart. Where no matter what, you can be a man or a woman of resolve that no matter what the adversary throws at you, you will stand faithful on God's word, and there's a crown for that in the Word of God. For standing faithful in God's Word. There's a crown for that. He saw in first or in James. Where if you can endure the temptation, there's a crown for that. Stand faithful. There's rewards. 2 Corinthians teaches us, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I just showed you tonight one of Satan's devices. That if you look sense knowledge-wise at the situation and feel like you're failing, that's what the lie he wants you to believe. That's the lie he wants you to believe. He doesn't want you to understand that you can still overcome in that situation. Just like Jesus overcame in the garden, Jesus overcame on the cross. Just like Paul overcame when he was beat. Just like Peter overcame when he was imprisoned. See? You can still overcome in those situations. Jesus said, I overcame. Look at it on the senses, no dice. But you can't look at it that way. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they're foolishness unto him. You look at it with your natural mind, you'll never see it. But this is a promise of God. This is his word. And his word is true. His word never returns void. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have what?
Overcome.
You have overcome them. Because of you? No. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the what? You see? Now, when you get born again, who do you have in you?
Christ.
Does Christ ever leave you from that point on?
No.
So is there ever a time where he is not in you?
No.
Then there is never a time where you cannot overcome. You have the ability all the time. 100% of the time. Who determines whether you're going to overcome or not?
You do.
You do. And how you respond to the devil's temptation. And he knows what buttons to push on you. He knows just how to get you goat. Right? And none of us are the same. He studies us. He understands our nature. He understands our personality. You know what he understands most of all? Our weaknesses. Our flaws. Our vices. You know what he feeds us with? Our weaknesses, our flaws, and our vices. That's what he brings up to us. He never comes up and pats you on the back and says, God bless you, you son of God. You're going to heaven one day and I can't even stop that. He never tells you that. Know what I'll tell you? You're a loser. You're a bum. You're a bad parent. You're a bad person. You're having a bad day, bad week. You're having a bad life. I met a guy one time told me, I'm having a bad life. That's what I'll tell you. But if you listen to him, you're a loser. That's why you got to make up your mind who you're going to listen to, right? Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we have your word. Thank you that we're victorious because greater in us than is in us than anything that's in the world, Father. And thank you, Father, that regardless of what things look like, we have the ability and we have the enablements to stay put and be victorious. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.